Doom do 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 do.
Hiya, plant people. Welcome to episode 60 of
Bloom and Grow Radio.
Hi, plant friends. Here we are, episode 60 of Bloom and Grow Radio. Holy cow. I hope you all have had wonderful weeks and that you're enjoying the beginning of this glorious growing season. I've been so fortunate to have been on the West Coast for most of it, and it has been magnificent. You know, I'm a born and bred New Yorker, so I've only experienced like a very specific kind of winter into spring moment. And it's just been so nice to have these mild and sunny winters and early springs. I've been in Seattle, Sacramento, Costa Mesa, San Diego, Denver, and by the time this episode airs, I'll actually be in Tucson, Arizona, and I've spent 1 week in each city back to back. It's been wild. And the even more wild thing about my crazy little tour is that of all of those cities, I've gotten to do listener meetups and live tapings in three of them, Seattle, San Diego, and Tucson. And I also got to do some very special interviews in Denver about a very special and controversial plant that is famous for being grown in Denver, if you catch my drift, that I will be releasing later in the season. But I'm just really pinching myself at how many of you guys I've been able to meet IRL. It just means so much to me that you guys show up to these events and that I get to connect with you and see the faces that are in between the ears that are listening to this show. This has just been such a beautiful gift and such a wild few months. About my live tapings and listener meetups, I am constantly throwing them together in the cities that Cats the Musical is touring in. But sometimes these events come together very last minute because I'm essentially working two full-time jobs right now. I'm doing Bloom and Grow during the day, and then I'm performing in Cats the Musical at night. So sometimes just with my schedule, I'm throwing together these listener meetups like 4 or 5 days before they happen. And because of that and my podcasting airing schedule, sometimes I can't publicize the meetups on the podcast. So it's really important that if you guys might want to come to a meetup, you are subscribed to the Bloom and Grow Garden Club, which is my mailing list. You can go to bloomandgrowradio.com/garden-club to sign up and follow me on Instagram because, for example, this Tucson meetup that I did yesterday, there was no episode to promote the meetup in between the time where all of it fell together. So I only had Instagram and my mailing list to promote it. And I want to obviously see as many of you as I can. And speaking of the live events, I'm so excited that this episode I'm bringing you today is from the second live taping of Bloom and Grow Radio, which was held at Barrels and Branches Nursery in San Diego with the wonderful and magical Raquel from Infinite Succulent, all about DIY succulent crowns. So Raquel is the plant lady behind Infinite Succulent, which is an amazing brand. And she just published a succulent crafting book called Infinite Succulent Miniature Living Art to Keep or Share. Raquel's book is just filled with incredibly fun and super easy succulent crafts for any skill level. I personally have been obsessed with succulent crowns ever since I found them on Instagram over a year ago, and I actually got one for myself from a San Diego succulent crafter about a year and a half ago or a year ago when Billy and I went to San Diego for his 30th birthday. I was just seeing a lot of succulent crowns on Pinterest and Instagram, and I just thought they were so cute, and I just felt like I would be the ultimate high vibe plant lady if I could get one. So I wore it the whole weekend, our whole vacation weekend. I wouldn't take it off. And it just felt so special and fun. It just kind of had me giggling for the whole weekend. It was a super fun craft to wear. And I just thought this would be a super fun craft to bring to you guys to maybe do with your friends or your kids. And this ended up being such a wonderful conversation. The live event was so great. We had a wonderful grouping of people who made the most incredible crowns. You can see photos. And I'm just so excited to hopefully inspire you guys to make some of your own because they're super fun. So at this live taping, Raquel walks me through making these succulent crowns from start to finish, and she teaches us how to replant the crowns and have them live on forever. But I just wanted to give you a few heads up about the episode. So number one, the nursery and the space for this event was so magical to record in. We were in basically a greenhouse surrounded by like every dream plant you could ever imagine. But the nursery was open, so you will hear some shoppers kind of milling around in the background at some times of the interview. And you also might hear some cars and sirens passing on the local road. So don't worry, they pass. It's not the entire episode. Just keep listening through. Number two, Raquel and I did our very best to explain what we were doing while we were doing it because I was crafting. She was teaching me in the moment how to make the crafts. But like, real talk, my plant friends, this was the first time trying to do a live taping and DIY event in which we were crafting at the same time. So I think we did a pretty good job explaining things. But if you need some visual aids, because this is obviously a very visual craft, we had an amazing photographer, Gabaccia, who took some incredible companion photos and made a really cute video as a companion to this episode. So head to the show notes at bloomandgrowradio.com/DIY succulent crown to see the photos that we're talking about. I also have a general overview of the instructions that we go through in the interview at the end just to have a nice little succinct package for you. One other thing, in case it isn't clear at the start of the episode, Raquel has two different types of succulent crowns that you can make in her book. So each of us made a different one. I did the tieback version, which is basically the succulents are attached to lace, which is attached to a leather string that ties around your head because I have an insanely large head and headbands don't really fit it. And then the other version is the headband version, which is putting the succulents on a plastic or metal headband. So there'll be photos of both in the show notes, just so you know that we are doing kind of two minimally different crafts. Okay, plant friends, before I bring you this conversation to teach you about a succulent craft I love, I want to tell you all about a succulent company I am loving and the sponsor of today's episode, Mountain Crest Gardens. Mountain Crest Gardens is a family-owned and operated succulent nursery in California that ships high-quality succulents straight to your door. I hope that you've seen my unboxing and repotting of my windowsill hanging pots on my Insta stories this month so you could see the incredible quality and variety of their succulents for yourself. Mountain Crest Gardens has one of the largest selections of soft indoor and hardy outdoor succulents in the country. I am absolutely in love with my new Horwarthia retusa and the blue pickle vine that is now hanging in my window. I also love that their shipping methods are environmentally friendly with biodegradable and recyclable packaging materials. So in addition to the amazing variety of rooted succulents that Mountain Crest Gardens sells, they also sell succulent clippings, plant friends, which would be perfect for any type of succulent craft, like a DIY succulent crown. So if you get inspired to make your own after this episode, you can head to their website and then click the More section, and that's where their clipping offerings are. So Mountain Crest Gardens is generously offering the Bloom and Grow community 15% off by visiting mountaincrestgardens.com/bloom to get your personal 15% off discount code. So head over to mountaincrestgardens.com/bloom to check out their incredible variety of indoor and outdoor succulents and get 15% off and maybe learn a thing or two from their amazing blogs and resources as well. Okay, let's make some crowns, shall we? Do you have upcoming travel to a different country scheduled, or maybe you have a relative or a friend who speaks a different language that you want to connect with on a deeper level? Why not easily learn a new language with my favorite language learning tool, Rosetta Stone? I recently went to Italy and I brushed up on my Italian by using the Rosetta Stone app for like 20 minutes every morning. It was so easy to use. It was part of my morning practice. It was really fun. And let me tell you, Rosetta Stone works. It brushed me up so good. I was getting around Italy easily speaking Italian after putting those reps in. If you don't already know, Rosetta Stone is the trusted language learning tool available on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone has 30 years of experience, millions of users, and 25 languages offered. It makes language learning so fun, so easy, and so fast. It immerses you in the language, which is the fastest way to learn. So it's an intuitive process with no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. It even coaches you on pronunciation with its true accent feature, which is like basically having a physical trainer for your accent. It's so wild. The desktop and app options make it so easy to do consistently, and it's an amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages forever for any and all trips and language needs in your entire life. So this year I brushed up on my Italian, but next year Billy and I want to go to Japan so we could learn conversational Japanese with it. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone has to offer, and right now they're offering 50% off. It's an insane steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Growing Joy with Plants listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life, plant friends. It's an insane deal. Redeem 50% off at Rosetta, R-O-S-E-T-T-A, stone.com/today. Everyone, welcome to the second live taping of Bloom and Grow Radio. Yay! So for those listening in, we are at the gorgeous Barrels and Branches Nursery in Encinitas, which is about 20 minutes north of San Diego, inside this gorgeous kind of, what would you call it? Greenhouse filled with the most healthy pilea I've ever seen, air plants. It's the plantiest little setup. And today I am joined by Raquel from Infinite Succulents.
Hello.
For a tutorial on succulent crowns. Succulent crowns are very near and dear to my heart because when I had just started my podcast, I was on Pinterest, and for some reason I think succulent crowns had just become like kind of cool. I think weddings have started picking them up, and like people's like maternity shots and like bachelorette parties and stuff. And I was just kind of loving them because I was getting like really obsessed with plants. And we went to San Diego to celebrate Billy's 30th birthday. And I just like was so committed to finding a succulent crown. I just like needed one. So I found someone online. They made me a succulent crown. I bought it from them and wore it like for the whole weekend. And there was something just about wearing plants on my head that was just like the ultimate form of crazy plant lady. And I don't know, it just brought me so much joy. And on that trip, Christine from Work Hard Plant Hard actually brought me two Barrels and Branches just on our like plant friends in real life plant date. So this feels very full circle for me to be back here actually working with Barrels and Branches, partnering with you, Raquel, to make a succulent crown. So I'm so excited. So before we get started, I'd love to hear a little bit about your journey to becoming a succulent craft expert and how you created your book and your brand, the Infinite Succulents.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's really, really exciting to be here. So my name is Raquel. My background's actually in environmental education, and I have a specialty in marine biology. And now I play with plants. So it's kind of been a journey. For me, ever since I moved to California in 2005, I was really just taken in by these adorable plants I saw everywhere, the succulents. And I just found them really cute and inspiring. And that was about it. In 2010, I got married, and I decided I wanted to use all succulents for our wedding decor because I love the sustainability of them. Being an environmental educator, sustainability is really important to me, and I wanted to make sure that I was using florals that were things that could be replanted and that could be used in lots of artistic ways. And I actually planted up the groom's boutonniere.
Oh, the boutonnieres?
The boutonnieres and my wedding bouquet, and they're still thriving in my gardens right now, nine years later. Actually, I often clip from those for events, and it's like spreading the love.
Yeah.
And I really feel like succulents are like that. And that's actually where Infinite Succulent came from, is I just feel that the succulents themselves have such infinite potential, both for their own growth and the way that they propagate and the way that you clip them and they can continue to grow and continue to thrive, as well as the creative potential with them. And after the birth of my second daughter, I found myself suffering a bit from some postpartum depression and anxiety. I started doing some therapy, and my therapist was like, I think you're really stuck. And I'm like, I am so stuck. I just felt like my life had like, even though I was busy and I was happy being a mom, I just felt very stuck in some ways. And my therapist was like, I think you need to get creative. And so during that afternoon nap, I started to go outside and clip from some of the plants I had around and started making succulent terrariums. That was my first love when it came to succulent art. And I just found that it was something I could do, and my brain would go quiet. I mean, like, instead of having the monkey mind of all the things to do and the things that caused me anxiety, the things I had no control over and felt fearful of for no reason other than my brain was just overworking itself, I would go outside, I'd play with my plants, and everything would just be quiet, and I would be so present. I really got into that flow state where the only thing you're focusing on is what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it felt so good and so comfortable. And I very quickly began to fill my own house with succulent art and then, like, pass it on to friends. And then they were asking me to make things for their friends. And then some of my friends were like, why don't you do this for a business? You know, why don't you teach people? You love to teach about the environment. Why don't you take this on and start teaching other people? And because I found so much therapeutic benefit when it comes to immersing myself in nature and really getting creative, I really wanted to bring that out as well, that there's so much that can be attained when it comes to our own health and wellness by doing things that allow you to, first of all, get really creative. Because as adults, sometimes I feel like that's not really
allowed.
Right? Not even just allowed, but like it can be frowned upon. Like, what, you're playing? Aren't you too old for that? Like, no. I don't ever want to be too old to play. And that's what I called it. I called it playing with my plants. I'm going to go play with my plants now. So the creativity side of it was really beneficial. And then just like really fully immersing myself intimately with nature, like beyond just being a spectator, right? And beyond just being someone who's like, oh, it's so pretty, but to get in there and feel the roots and feel the leaves and actually sometimes even feel the hum of life within the plants, it woke me up. I feel like it woke me up. Like I was sleeping and I was in this kind of a sleep state and it just made me wake up. And I feel like the plants still have that effect on me. I feel like they're still kind of teaching me to keep on growing, keep on blooming, keep on growing. And just keep on expanding, because that's really beautiful. What life is about expansion. And I think the plants are good teachers for that. And doing things like this is a fun way to remember that.
Yeah, how cool that you're going to help us all awake our inner child playing with some plants right now. So obviously you have tons of different crafts in your book, which we'll talk about at the end of the interview, but what do we have in front of us right now? You've made amazing little packages for every person at this event right now. So if we want to make our own succulent crown, it's kind of surprising how easy they are to make. Yeah. So what are we looking at here?
In the book and what we have in front of us today, there's two different types of succulent crowns or headbands that we'll be creating. Maria is actually going to demonstrate what I call the tie back version, which is a version that you're going to tie on your head, and it can be actually worn as a hat band as well.
You have a large head like I do.
And the twine, like this is like a suede twine that you can find at Michael's. Basically, you're just going to cut two pieces of twine to do the tie back version. The rest of us are going to be doing what I call the headband version. So we've got just the headband base right here. And then what we have is everyone has three pieces of, actually you probably have six now. Since we have a nice small group, we can actually make bigger crowns.
We're making big old crowns
exciting.
Today. Yeah.
So there should be 3 to 6 pieces of what I call this lace ribbon. And this is going to become the base for our succulents. We have some preserved reindeer moss, which is actually a lichen.
So where do you order this?
This is actually through the Super Moss Company.
Oh, okay. They're great.
Yeah. They have really, really good preserved mosses for crafting.
Creative. I see some feathers over there,
too. Yeah, there's some feathers. I have some dried roses available. And then you'll also see there's little crystals. So I have both raw amethyst and raw citrine points in there as well. I work a lot with crystals and crystal energy. And those two that I brought today are really about the amethyst really goes into intuition and into kind of like more of the kind of seeing what you want for the future. And then the citrine is a lot more about actually kind of like the action, right? Okay. So you have like the inspiration and the action.
I love that. And to be wearing that right next to your head, I feel like that's a good energetic thing to do. Okay,
exactly.
I'm going to put those on mine.
So in your kit, you also will have a little bit of this craft glue right here. But you'll also notice on the tables I provided glue guns, the hot glue guns, as well as some other craft glue. So if you do this at home, any kind of craft glue will work. I prefer to work with the hot glue gun just because it's so much faster and it's so much more precise. But you totally can do any of these crafts with any kind of craft glue, just know that if you're doing more of a cold craft glue or a cold floral glue, you just have to hold things a little bit longer.
Okay.
Just to give it a little bit extra time to set.
But if you don't have a hot glue gun at home, you could get this E6000 industrial strength adhesive, some sort of crafting glue.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Or like the Oasis brand floral glue, cold floral glue works as well. Or even the tacky glue.
Oh, tacky glue.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, those work as well. They just take a little bit longer.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And I often get the question like, ooh, hot glue with my plants.
Right.
I get a lot of people like, oh, is it going to hurt them? And it really doesn't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't hurt the plants at all. It actually makes it really easy when it's time to remove the plants to replant them. It just kind of pops right off. And it actually reminds me of medical care back in like the turn of the century, when you cauterize wounds, right?
Totally.
So that's kind of what you're doing with the hot glue gun. Because if you look at the bottom of the succulent clippings, these I clipped a few days ago. So all the little end areas are already what I call calloused over.
Okay.
But if it was a fresh clipping, and I can kind of show you how we could do that today. But if it was a fresh clipping, if you use the glue gun, you're kind of cauterizing that.
Right.
So you're kind of keeping it from having a chance to get more root rot because you're kind of going over that fresh wound area.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So you need something to put on your head, something to kind of fix the succulents on. So in this case, we're doing this beautiful lace, but you could probably do ribbon or something.
Yeah, you just, and the reason there's three pieces is because you want it to be sturdy enough to be able to hold the weight of the plants.
Of the succulents.
So what we're going to end up doing, and I'll walk you all through this, is you're going to glue two of the pieces together, and then you're going to glue those to your base, and then you're going to use the third piece to adhere it at the bottom. And so you end up having three pieces, which end up being nice and thick.
Nice.
Which can hold everything.
And makes it flat.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of get really creative about what you might want to put on top. So with moss or feathers or different types of colored moss or crystals or jewels, maybe if you have like some old an antique of some sort, or like maybe a little knickknack that you want to like make special, you could put that in.
Yeah. If you have a stone that's really special to you,
a
or
stone.
A shell you found somewhere. I mean, it's endless.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
So succulent clippings, like what does the succulent need in order to be kind of best attached to something like this? Because this isn't just like the normal succulent you buy in the store that has like a full root system on it.
Right. So in my book, I talk a lot about sourcing succulents for crafting.
Okay.
And so what you're going to do if you know you want to be getting plants for crafting purposes, where you're actually going to be going in and clipping them, is you want to look for plants that have lots of heads or rosettes, like you see here.
Okay.
Because then you have a lot you can clip from. The difference is, with the rooted succulents is obviously when they're rooted, they're getting a lot of their needs through those roots. When you clip a succulent, what it's doing is it's actually able to provide itself with the water needs that it has through the leaves themselves. And that's what makes a succulent, is being able to retain water in their root stems and in their leaves.
Okay.
So when you take a clipping, immediately you're going to slow down the growth of that plant because all of a sudden it's like, oh, I gotta, you know, hold on to my energy
conserve.
And use it as I need it and conserve it. But what's really fun about the clippings is that they're not gonna die. It's not like a flower clipping where you have a few days, it looks beautiful, and then, you know, you're gonna have to either toss it or dry it out. These will last a very long time. In fact, some of the clippings I have here could go, you know, 2 months before planting. And you might find a couple of leaves at the bottom that go dry, and you can just remove those. And then you can just stick it into the ground again. And within a few weeks' time, it'll start rooting and just keep on growing. So one thing that's really fun about working with clippings is if you do want to make art pieces, just by clipping the plants, you're slowing down their growth, and then you can kind of have an art piece. Usually these types of living accessories have a life of about 2 to 3 months.
Okay.
Sometimes even 4 months. Mm-hmm. For example, I have a bracelet, which is another craft in my book that you can see right here. I made this 2.5 months ago, and there's maybe like 3 plants that could be removed.
Yeah, you can see on the bracelet, the main echeveria is still pretty similar because it's larger, so it's going to grow slower. But the smaller little guys have kind of grown. They've kind of stretched, I would imagine, to find the sun, and they look like ready to be clipped and replanted.
And you can even see some of the roots.
Yeah, you can see the roots sprouting out. Look at that.
Uh-huh.
So they're ready to go, but that's wild. Did you stick that in the sun?
I leave it on a windowsill.
You do leave it on a windowsill, so they're still able to get the sun.
Yeah.
Okay, very cool.
But for example, this one right here, which is a Cremnocetum, the little gem, these look like this for like 6 months.
Yeah.
You clip them and they do not change.
That's wild.
At all. So they're one of my favorites. And this is the Echeveria Prolifica. And they are a great one for crafting because, like their name, they're super prolific. They put out lots of pups and they grow really slow.
So what you're saying is after we make these crowns, I can wear it every day for the next like 3 weeks.
Oh, totally.
Before I take it apart.
Cool. 100%. Okay, perfect. Anytime you're going to create with succulent clippings, you're going to want to wait about 2 weeks before you provide any kind of water at all. And that's so that you're giving the roots a chance to start growing. And it's also so that you're reducing the opportunities for root rot to develop. Whenever we create like living frames or succulent wreaths or living accessories like these, I always tell people, don't do anything for 2 weeks. Just enjoy it.
Right.
You know, stick it on a windowsill when you're not wearing it and don't even water it. And then at that point, you can actually mist. After about 1.5 to 2 weeks, you can mist aiming for the root area, kind of aiming for the moss area. And I would say mist. Some people say mist every 3 to 5 days. I think that's too much because the moss does hold on to some of that moisture. So I say mist about once a week, depending on what the conditions are. If it's gray, overcast, not too hot, feels like there's a little bit more moisture in the air like we're having today, I would say mist every 10 days or so. If it's hot and sunny and dry, mist once a week.
And then are you misting the moss or you're misting like the top of the plant?
You're misting more of the moss.
The moss, right. Yeah. Because if you miss the top of the plant, I would imagine that could cause some rot. So you're going to get in that moss that you're actually gluing the succulents into.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the few times I actually do advise misting. People often say to me, oh, you mean I shouldn't mist my planted succulents? And I say, please don't mist your planted succulents.
Please don't do that.
Yeah. You can mist succulents that are planted into moss, that are glued into moss. That's the best way to water those ones. But if it's actually planted with roots, you're going to want to give it a real thorough watering.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So either you can buy succulent clippings, or if you buy a rooted succulent, make sure that you snip the roots off and you ideally want to let it callus a little bit before you start planting it.
Yeah. Up. Do you want me to demonstrate really quickly how to clip it? Okay. So Raquel has brought a beautiful kind of blue pink Echeveria that has a ton of pups that are kind of fully grown. So yeah, what's the best way to take a clipping? So what I do when I look at something like this is I'll always start with the ones around. Like that you can usually tell which one is the mama plant,
right?
As I call it,
the one in the middle.
The one in the middle, the one that's a little bit larger typically. And so I'll usually start by clipping around the mama plant. And what you're going to look for is the stem. So the stem that's connecting that little clipping, that little pup, to the mother. Now, sometimes, depending on how large the plant is or how many leaves it has, sometimes you have to do what I call holding up the skirt. So the skirt is kind of like the lower leaves, and you have to hold it up a little bit so that you can see. But typically, as long as you can kind of get in there, can you all see back there? You just take your scissors, stick it right there, and just clip away. Now, they have a ton of dried leaves. So when you take your clipping, this is also a good time to remove any of those drier leaves, like you see right here. And what I always tell people is when you're going to be gluing your succulent clipping into moss, you really want to make sure that your stem is very, very short.
Okay, so you just took the scissor and went right up against the bottom of the succulent and really took every aspect of the stem out. So it basically looks like the succulent would really just be sitting right on the bottom leaves.
Right.
If you were to put it on a table or something.
And what will happen is it will actually start sprouting out roots.
Cool.
Right from where that stem meets those bottom leaves.
Awesome.
Just like that. And that's pretty much how you take your clippings.
And how long does it take for it to callus?
I usually give it 24 hours.
24 hours. Okay, cool.
But sometimes it's less. And one thing I do is if I'm clipping and I know I want to make something right away, what I tend to do is I'll have a little spray bottle of 70% rubbing alcohol with water, and I'll just kind of spray everything down a little bit. It kind of gives it a nice cleaning. I like to wash my clippings after I take all of them, like wash off any dust or dirt or bugs.
Right.
A lot of times they're outside. So typically I'll clip, I let it sit overnight, and then I wash them all the next day. But if I'm in a rush or if I'm making something and I'm like, I need more clippings.
Right.
Because you always need more than you think. then I'll have my rubbing alcohol and I'll just kind of spray as I go.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right.
That's it.
So let's craft.
You guys ready to do crafting?
Yeah.
So just so you all know, there's glue guns available. If you have one close to you, I highly recommend to use them because they are just a lot faster. But do be cautious as you're working because I often say that I don't think I have fingerprints anymore.
I know. They're hot
because
glue.
I've burned myself many times with the glue. So what you're going to do to start is take two of your pieces of lace and you're going to glue those to each other. You can use the craft glue or the glue gun.
Okay, so you do like a nice healthy amount.
Yeah, so if you're using the glue gun, I would do about three lines.
Okay.
So the top, the middle, and the bottom.
Okay. So you don't have to like drench it in glue. Just make sure you're getting them together.
Yeah, just enough that you kind of make sure the corners are put in there. And I'm using a little bit of the craft glue for this one.
Okay.
So with the glue gun, once you're going to glue those pieces together, and this is where I want you to be careful not to burn yourself, is you kind of do like the tap. See how I'm kind of tapping?
Mm-hmm.
You kind of tap it down like so to adhere them to each other.
Give it a good tap, tap, tap.
Mm-hmm. And then do it with your second piece. So again, you're going to be gluing one piece to the other to create kind of the base for your plants. Once you have those two pieces together, you take your headband base, and for Maria, with yours, what you're going to do, before you glue those ribbons to your headband base, take a moment and think where you want the succulents to lie on your
right.
head.
Okay.
So for you, like, do you want it to be in the middle? Do you want it to be off to the side?
I'm thinking off to the side.
Yeah, I typically do off to the side a little bit. Personally, I tend to have things on my left side more than my right.
Okay.
For some reason, my right side has more hair.
Oh, yeah. My right side has more hair, too.
Yeah. Okay. So if you have a little bit of a side part, like a natural side part, go for the side that has a little bit less hair.
Okay.
So I'm going to do my little base on the left side of my
I think it would be cool, headband. Too. You could do it, like, on top if you have enough lace. You could do, like, an actual crown.
Oh, definitely.
Which is so cool, too.
Yeah.
See. Okay.
And just know for something, if you're going to do a full one like that, you can totally do it. You're going to probably need about 30 clippings for something
30
like that.
Clippings.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
For the smaller
like for when I get married and you make my crown that I wear.
Exactly.
I love it. So once you've figured out where you want the plants to be,
okay,
what you're going to do, and this is for the headband base.
Okay.
So you kind of use your plate to hold it in place. See how I'm doing that right there? And you hold your headband base down into the ribbon, and then you add a little bit more glue and take your third piece of ribbon and just attach it.
So that lace isn't going anywhere you're done.
Hey, plant friends. Maria here, hopping in to interrupt the conversation just to quickly clarify something. This is the one section of our live taping that I don't think translated very well, so I just want to break this down. So you need three pieces of lace for this craft. You glue two of the pieces of lace together. That's going to make them a really nice sturdy base that you're going to glue the succulents onto and the moss onto. Then you have your headband, and then you have the third piece of lace. So basically, you're going to make like a headband sandwich. You're going to take the third piece of lace, then the headband, then that sturdier doubled piece of lace on top and glue those together. So essentially there's lace on either side of the headbands, and that secures the lace really strongly to the headband to make sure the succulents don't go anywhere. So just want to make sure you clarify. If you go look at any of the photos on the show notes, you'll understand what we're talking about.
Once you have your third piece glued to the other two, I like to take my fingers, and you're going to get dirty today, but that's part of the fun. And I just kind of like to really secure it by kind of pushing it tighter together like so and just moving it down that way. And so now you have the thicker pieces at the top that will be holding on to your plants and the thinner piece at the bottom, which will be a nice kind of like a little cushion for your head. It helps keep everything together and protects your hair.
So the double piece goes on top that you attach the succulents
exactly,
to. Okay, cool.
Exactly. And the reason for that is because it'll have more support.
More support for the succulents and the hair. The other side is just a little.
The glue actually provides a bit more stability because it actually hardens those ribbons.
Okay.
So instead of them being floppy, the glue kind of makes them nice and hard. So if you've gotten to the point where you have all three of your pieces secured to your headband base, what you can do from there is actually add some glue to the top of your ribbon, the top
part of the ribbon and then take your moss. I like to kind of stretch my moss a little bit first. Sometimes it has little twigs and such in there, so you can remove those because that would not be super comfortable.
Okay.
And I like to kind of thin it out a little bit, just kind of pull it.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you're going to do is just glue it right on to that ribbon base.
To the reinforced double-sided.
Exactly.
I'm just going to keep telling myself that because I feel like I'm going to glue it to the wrong side.
Yeah, well, with yours, it's very easy to figure out which is the top, which is the bottom. When you have the headband base, you can tell really well.
I feel like having glue all over my hands kind of feels like having dirt all over my hands, and I'm into it.
Like, as someone who's done a lot of gluing moss, I have to tell you, the dirt washes off a lot easier.
Yeah. Oh, my God, I'm sure. When you're attaching the moss to the lace, should you put a lot of glue because you want the moss to, like, really attach
or just a couple of stripes? It depends. What I like to start out with just a little, and then I see where I need to add a little bit more reinforcement.
Okay.
So, again, what I'm doing here is I'm really pushing the moss down into the glue.
Okay.
And you'll see there's a couple of scissors on the table available for you as well. With this reindeer moss, it's really bushy. It's really light. So one thing that you'll want to do, because you want to adhere your succulent clippings on really tight, is I actually trim back the moss by taking some scissors. And I'll do this up high so you can see. And I just
you're giving it a haircut.
Yep.
Okay.
You just trim that moss down so that when you glue your succulents on, they're not going to be bouncy with the moss, right? You trim your moss down so that it's really tight to that ribbon base.
So you want just a nice, even layer of moss to stick the...
And it is. It is kind of like giving it a little haircut.
So if I have on the edge some moss hanging off of the lace, should it all just be very tight? You don't want any of the lace showing?
That's up to you. That could be a personal preference. Sometimes I kind of like the look of the lace, so I sometimes keep that.
Okay.
But another thing that to keep in mind is with some of the added things like dried roses or crystals, I even have some dried baby's breath there that you're more than welcome to clip from, you can also add those things.
On the corner.
Okay. In the little corners. Cool. To hide some of that. And they don't need the moss because... they're not going to grow. What the moss is there for is a place for the succulents to root into and actually grow. Succulents do grow well into moss and will really thrive. You want the succulents, as they root into the moss, you don't want them to pull the moss off the base, right? So as they root into the moss and get heavier, if you have a bit like this one here, see how that's kind of wiggly like that? As the succulent roots in there, it'll just pull that right off the base.
Okay.
So if you cut it back or add more glue right there,
it's going to make it more stable.
Exactly. Exactly.
My gosh. I feel like I'm in kindergarten. This is so fun. I also noticed that when you glue it, there's natural little divots like where the moss kind of pops up and then goes down. So I imagine that's going to be where we're going to want to stick the succulents, right?
Yeah, that's a really good observation, actually.
Thank you. You hear that slurping, plant friends? That is me on my dregs of my daily dose of greens, courtesy of today's sponsor, Equilibria. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. I always have loved green juice and greens powders. Obviously, I love plants. I love growing plants. I love eating plants. Plants are good for you. And I have tried most greens powders brands on the market, honestly, at this point. I have to say, I'm really loving the Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens. I might argue it's probably one of the best tasting greens powders I've ever had, and that says a lot because I've tried most of them. The Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens contains an immune antioxidant and detox blend, along with prebiotics, probiotics, and over 35 fruits and veggies. There's no way I'm eating 35 fruits and vegetables throughout the day, but I love that I'm getting little doses and the micronutrients that are in each of the different veggies and fruits, right? Plus, they're certified organic, which I love. A lot of the competitors are not. I just mix one scoop of the greens powder into my water every day, and I'm shocked at how delicious this powder tastes. It's kind of like
apple juice. I started back on the greens powder bandwagon because this spring, in this like season of rejuvenation, I'm kind of rejuvenating, doing an overhaul of my health. I've returned to my workout routine. I'm getting in more sleep. I've recommitted to my morning practice, and I've made this Equilibria Nutri-Greens part of that morning practice, drinking the powder in water in the morning. Plus, I love a female-founded company, right? Don't we all? If you want to try this greens powder, Equilibria is hooking you up with 15% off. Head to myeq.com and use code BLOOM for 15% off Equilibria's daily Nutri-Greens and so many other different products on their website. That's myeq.com and use code BLOOM at checkout for 15% off site-wide today.
Yes, you definitely can use it that way.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so once you have the moss on there, I like to kind of give it a little shake. And anything that falls off, that's great, because then you know that wouldn't have been secured. But if you notice anything as you kind of give it a little shake, if you notice anything kind of flopping around, like one of those, what do my kids call it? Those balloon men outside of like car washes, out of the car washes, right? If you notice anything flopping around, take some scissors and just trim that back.
Give it a little shave.
Yeah. So once you have your little base...
Then it's so freaking cute, even just the way it is right now.
Well, and just so you all know, what's really cool about these is that they are reusable. So when it's time to remove your plants and grow them, keep your base, because you can actually plant into it and time again. What I typically do is I'll take some scissors and kind of cut back some of the moss where there's a lot of glue clumped on, okay, and then just add a little bit more moss, and then I'll just add new clippings and go from there. Sometimes I'll even, like for example, this bracelet, where I have some crystals and some dried flowers, I'll leave those there and then just glue new clippings right into the spot. Even though the craft itself might survive for, you know, 3-4 months, you replant the clippings so those continue to grow for you. And you can use the base over and over and over again.
I love that.
Me too.
You can just have a whole garden outside of just all your clippings that you've been wearing.
Yeah, you should come to my backyard, because that kind of is my backyard.
I also love the idea of your wedding bouquet, like, living in your backyard. That, like, makes me, like, tear up. That's beautiful.
Something to keep in mind.
Yeah, something to keep in mind.
Why succulents are so great. I still have friends who were at our wedding, because even the decor pieces on the table were succulents. And my whole wedding was succulent peacock feathers. I know we have a participant whose last name is Peacock here today.
Peacock, yeah.
Yeah, so it was all succulents and peacock feathers. So every place setting had a succulent clipping and a peacock feather. And then there was also smaller arrangements on the tables, and people brought them home, and they tell me that their succulents are still alive from our wedding. And they remember our wedding with so much fondness. Well, it was a really fun wedding, A. But B, they remember with so much fondness because they have something still living from it.
And that's beautiful. Oh,
it is.
I love that.
There's so much. It's just one of those things that makes you feel really connected.
Yeah, totally.
Which is, I think, why we love plants.
That's why we love plants. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I think that's what's so amazing about plants. Okay, so I always suggest to start with your larger pieces. And when you glue them on, so with the hot glue, as I mentioned, the hot glue will not hurt them. It pulls right off when it's time to remove them. One thing that the hot glue often does, and you might see this with plants as you walk around, is that with succulents in particular, when they're in harsher conditions and they're stressed out, they actually work harder to survive, right? So they'll grow more roots. They'll bring out brighter colors, which is really, really fun. So when you add the hot glue to the bottom, it actually can help spur on some of the root growth right above that area.
Because
they're like, ooh, we got damaged here.
Right.
Put the growth right above that spot.
Interesting.
Or from this spot. I do recommend, if you have a little clipping that has a longer stem, or if you have a clipping and you notice some of the leaves at the bottom are discolored or just not as pretty, now is the time where you're going to want to remove those leaves.
Okay.
So for example, with this little clipping I have right here, I noticed that there's a couple of leaves that are what would be kind of soggy in a few weeks' time. So I'm going to remove a couple of those bottom leaves. And then I have about maybe a quarter of an inch of stem right here. But if I was to try to adhere that to the moss, it would be kind of floppy. So you really want to keep that stem. Mm-hmm. When you're gluing into moss, you really, really want to keep that stem as short as possible.
Okay.
So that the plant is really adhering tight to both the moss and the base.
I have a long stem here, so I'm going to give this guy a cut.
Exactly.
Right up to his little booty.
Exactly. Okay. I like that, his little booty.
So here's a question. So when I'm gluing, do I want to only glue the stem section or do I want to maybe put some glue around on the surrounding leaves?
That's a really good question. I personally go for the stem. Okay. Because when you push it down, sometimes that spreads out into the leaves already. So I personally just go for the stem. Okay. I think that's easier to adhere that way. And also one thing that you'll find with succulents, it's very normal for them as they grow, for the bottom leaves, the leaves closest to the stem, to dry out and to need to be removed in a few weeks' time. So if you've done the glue there, when you remove that leaf, you all of a sudden have a clipping that's a little bit wobbly.
Got it.
Because it was being adhered by that one leaf.
And the leaf falls off.
Yeah.
Okay, cool, cool.
So really good question. So you take your glue and you just put a nice dollop. That's a good word, right?
A dollop.
A dollop, a good dollop of glue right there in that center stem. And with the glue gun, one thing you can do, I call it the little glue gun twirl at the end because you do get a little bit of the glue strings. But at the end of the craft, you can remove all of those little strings. So one thing that's really fun and one thing to note when you're gluing your succulents on, this is a nice little tip. Take your fingers around your clipping, holding all the leaves up. Kind of like, so you're squeezing
it
together.
You're almost pinching the succulent together towards its center.
Very gently, but firmly.
Okay.
So it's this kind of gentle yet firm touch. And then I take my left hand or my non-dominant hands underneath and I push up from underneath the base as I push down.
Oh, so you give your
clipping
on the other side.
Right. Now, that's for the headband base. Because your base can lay flat.
I'm just pushing
down. You just push down.
Okay.
But with the headband base, you can take your non-dominant hands underneath where your clipping is and then just push down as you also simultaneously push up. One thing I like to do with my clippings is I like for them to look kind of how you would see them grow in the wild. So if you put one larger one down in, you can take your second one and kind of put it sideways up against the other.
Oh, so you make it look like it's a pup growing out of the mom plant. Oh,
so
I love that.
Yeah, and so you, you could either go with a different type of clipping or you can go with the same type. And most of what we have here today are echeveria with a little bit of sedevaria in there as well. But the echeveria are just so cute
They're so cute.
I just had to go for them.
I'm incorporating some green moss on top of my normal moss because I think it looks kind of cool to have a little bit of like natural green coming in, which I'm really enjoying.
I love that. And that's why I brought some of that added green as well.
Yeah.
As you get closer to the end, if you notice you have little areas that seem
like a little naked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if like in between where you, like for example, with the ones I have right here, you can kind of see a little stem in between. Mm-hmm. You can either fill that with the crystal or a smaller clipping, or you can take some of that green moss and add a pop of green in there.
I love that.
Not to mention that sometimes just moss itself looks really
it's pretty. Beautiful.
It's
beautiful.
Yeah. So pretty. Yeah.
Once the crown is done and we think that we've created the succulent crown of our dreams, what are the next steps for number one, caring for it while wearing it? And then what are the next steps for rooting it after?
Great questions. In terms of while you're wearing it, you don't have to do anything. Just wear it with full confidence and joy.
Live your best life with a plant on your head.
When you're not wearing it, when it's not in use, I tend to keep mine on a windowsill. And like with most plants, especially my succulents, this time of year, I'd say more of my southwest facing windows are my favorite spots for my succulent art pieces.
Okay.
So I have one in my kitchen right above my sink that is kind of southwest facing where I have a lot of plants and small succulent clippings, and my orchids actually they live their best life right there.
Really?
On that windowsill. Yeah, they flower for me every year.
Wow.
I was like, I was able to get my orchid to reflower for me, I felt like I really had achieved plant lady status. I was like, oh my gosh.
I can, still waiting on my orchid.
You know, I think it
flower.
Just comes down to finding a spot that they really like. Yeah.
It'll happen.
So, back to your living accessories, your succulent crown. So when you're not wearing it, you can leave it in a windowsill, and then you're going to want to mist it after about 2 weeks' time after creation. You can start misting that moss area, the base area, kind of where you glued them on.
Mm-hmm.
You mist it about once a week. And again, that is really arbitrary. You know, I always feel – you often get the questions, how often do I water?
Right.
And it really can be an arbitrary thing because it can be so dependent on the kind of microclimate conditions within your home. So basically, one of the best rules of thumb when it comes to succulents is when in doubt, dry it out. So
if, not when in doubt, spray it every day.
Right, right, exactly. When in doubt, dry it out. So and yeah. sometimes as someone who's a plant person, you want to be really actively right. involved mm-hmm. in caring for your plants. And sometimes it can be difficult with succulents because the best thing you can do is nothing.
Is just leave them alone. Yeah, it's so hard.
Yeah. So typically these will last, I think my longest lasting headband was 3.5 months.
Wow.
And I just had kept it on a windowsill when I wasn't wearing it. I have to admit, because I have a lot of succulent art in and out of my house, mm-hmm. I am not very good about watering them.
Okay.
And plus I also have
which probably makes them so happy.
Right. Well, and I also have tons of houseplants. And so, you know, staying on top of yeah. what really does need the care, uh-huh. I kind of sometimes forget about my succulents because I'm like, you're good, you're good. So, for example, this bracelet I made 2.5 months ago, I don't think I've ever watered it. I have not watered it once, and that statement piece in the middle, that thriller right there, the echeveria, is totally happy. I see bright pink roots coming out of it. The smaller sedum and grape devaria clippings are completely growing. I can see looking at them that like some of the leaves are like, we could use some water now. I'm ready to be planted into pumice or soil at this point. But again, I made this in end of February and it has never been watered. And I just want to show you, see those roots right there? The bright pink roots?
Yes.
That's coming out of the middle one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Will you leave the middle one the longest and take the side guys
yeah.
next? Okay.
Yeah. And if I can, I wanted to bring this bracelet because I wanted to show you how you can remove your clippings too, mm-hmm. since this one has some clippings that could be removed at this point. So again, sunlight, like with most succulents, bright yet indirect light is optimal. Being that they are clippings, they will grow slower than if they're rooted, planted
right.
plants. So they'll grow slower, but you still want to provide sunlight. Misting about once every 7 to 10 days, depending on how hot or dry it is in your area. And again, remembering not to give it any water for about 2 weeks after you create it, just okay. to give the roots a chance to start growing.
Okay.
Yeah. So when you've gotten to the point where you've worn it a bunch of times and the plants are
you've
starting
gotten to show many compliments.
Yes. People are just loving the
people
fact that you have a garden on your head.
Yeah.
You have noticed that your plants are starting to send out some aerial roots.
So that's the sign.
That could be one of the signs.
Roots.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you see roots starting to shoot out from the moss,
okay.
that could be one sign. Or in this example, the plants are actually growing out
right.
from the
stretching
moss.
Stretching a little bit.
And you can see there's two clippings on this bracelet, for example, that have not stretched out from the moss at all.
Okay.
So I would leave those. But the ones that have grown out, all you do is kind of grab it by the stem, give it a little wiggle, and then pull. And do you see that? You guys see
look
the roots?
Look at all those roots, man.
Right? And so what I would do from here is I'd either just go stick this in the ground in my backyard.
Okay.
Or I often have little nursery pots of pumice.
Okay.
Just around my studio.
Yeah.
Because I do
then
a lot
like
with
toss.
Clippings.
Okay.
And then I just throw my clippings right into those, give them a chance to root a little bit more before I throw them in my garden.
Okay.
So for something like this, I can remove these pieces that have grown out. And what's really fun is now I have this bracelet base, things are looking good. I can actually
you can put
take
some new ones
a
in.
New clipping and just stick it right in there.
That's so fun.
And keep it going for another 3 months.
Oh my gosh. So basically with replanting, wait till you see roots and then give it a nice little wiggle twist. Mm-hmm. It'll kind of break free from mm-hmm. the glue pretty easily.
Yep.
And then put it in. You can either stick it right into a pot or you could let it root a little bit further if you want.
Yeah. You can also water propagate. Like, for example, because I had mentioned I had not watered these bracelet mm-hmm. clippings at all. Mm-hmm. I can see in the leaves that they're a little bit like, I'm thirsty.
Oh my
so
God.
I could take something like this, stick it in a little like test tube of water okay. and let it water propagate
okay.
until it has those nice, like you can see the
juicy roots.
Yeah, the juicy roots, and you can see that the leaves have really filled out, and then I would go put it in my garden.
Okay.
So often one thing, and water propagation is really fun to mm-hmm. watch,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, totally.
So very often one thing I do once I've taken apart a living accessory or one of the pieces of succulents and moss is I'll water propagate some of those clippings.
To kind of rehydrate.
Yep,
especially
rehydrate
if you, if they've gone like 2 months without getting like a really good drink.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it, you know, it's so interesting. I remember when I first started really playing with succulents and learning about how to craft mm-hmm. with them and how to water propagate. One of the things you hear so often is succulents don't want to have their roots sitting in, you know, moist soil. They don't
right.
want to be in water. And so you'd think water propagation wouldn't work, yet it works so well.
Right. And then can you put it in soil after?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I like to do a soil pumice mix.
Okay.
There's a local company here in San Diego. They're based out of Carlsbad called General Pumice Products. Mm-hmm. They have an amazing product, the pumice, mm-hmm. that my plants love it. I actually add pumice to all of my houseplant soil as well.
A lot of people do that. I need to start. There'll be an episode on soil for Bloom and Grow soon because it needs to happen.
Yeah.
I love that.
If it's a clipping that I'm just going to go stick out in my garden somewhere, I'll just stick it out in my garden. And then I sometimes go through with pumice and just throw pumice over the top of that area. But if it's something that I know I'm going to want to plant and use for more art projects, then I tend to throw it into a nursery pot that has a mix of succulent soil with pumice. Now, most of the succulent soils that you'll buy on the market, by the way, your crown is gorgeous.
These crowns are amazing.
I know, I'm looking at what you guys are creating and they're gorgeous and everyone looks so different.
So unique.
Love it. Anyway, any type of succulent soil that you purchase will have some kind of amendment in there to help with drainage. Some will have perlite. Personally, my personal preference is pumice just because I think that it adds some extra nutrients and minerals to the plants that they really like. I also like that the pumice, when you water and it's perlite, the perlite tends to float up with the water, and the pumice doesn't do that. It has a bit more weight to it. So I really like the pumice better. It's just a personal thing. I know some people who like perlite better, but me personally, I've had more success with pumice.
I feel like everyone in the houseplant community has their own like secret sauce for what soil works for them. And it's like everybody has their own opinions on soil. It's really funny. It's interesting.
Yeah. I'm a big proponent for, and I don't do a ton of amendment, but there's two things I add to pretty much everything I plant. And that is pumice and horticulture charcoal.
The charcoal is a game changer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both pumice and charcoal are wonderful for maintaining moisture level in your soil. So both of them are very porous materials. So they end up, if you tend to be someone who overwaters, the pumice, which actually looks like little sponges that has all these pores in them, it absorbs the extra water and then it will slowly release that water back out into the soil as it feels the soil dry out. So that's really great. Charcoal does the same thing. It also is a very porous material, so it'll take in that extra water, but charcoal has this added benefit where it absorbs toxins. And that's why you see charcoal face masks and charcoal toothpaste right now, is that charcoal is able to absorb.
Yeah.
And that's why some people even ingest
drink it,
activated charcoal, because it can absorb toxins out. So I like to use it for all of my plants, whether I'm planting succulents or my houseplants. I add it to everything. Yeah. Another thing is, you know that NASA study that had come out back in like the 80s that was all about the best plants for air purification, so the best house plants? One of the things that wasn't talked about so much in that study is that many of those plants weren't planted just into the soil. The soil had a lot of charcoal in it.
Oh, interesting.
And so there was this question. I know Christine from at Work Hard, Plant Hard talks about this as well. It's not just the plants that are absorbing toxins from the air. It's microbes in the soil as well. Mm-hmm. And there is a thought that the charcoal added to the soil really helps with that absorption of toxins from the soil as well as from the air.
That makes so much sense.
So for me personally, knowing that I like to add plants not just for the way it makes my home feel, but also for the health benefits that I know exist.
Yeah.
I'm going to add the charcoal in there so that my plants are happy and so that I know we're taking in some of that, you know, the very normal toxins that we all have in all of our environments that the plants are so beneficial in fixing for us.
Yeah. So this is obviously my favorite succulent craft in your book, because that's what I requested for this event. But your book is out. Can we know a little bit more about it? What are your favorite other crafts that you have going on in the book?
Aw, thank you. Yeah, so my book is called Infinite Succulent, Miniature Living Crafts to Keep or Share. And I wanted to create a book of crafts, of succulent crafts that were really accessible to pretty much everyone.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be kind of fun to focus on miniature things, because mini things are cute.
They're cute, yeah.
They're really cute. I was one of those kids who was like obsessed with dollhouses. I'm still kind of obsessed with dollhouses. Thankfully, I have two little girls. little dollhouses and everything miniature. And I thought I would kind of differentiate from some of the other books on the market. Mm-hmm. And what's also really fun is you can get, you know, one plant like this and create four crafts from it.
Right.
So that's a really fun thing. And I also thought it would be really fun to teach about how to keep things growing mm-hmm. as you create planted crafts, as right. you create botanical art, and especially with succulents. Once you are finished with whatever the art piece is, you can replant those plants and then use them an infinite amount of times yeah. for more art products. So one of my favorite crafts is actually, I call it the succulent crowned twig magnet.
Okay.
And it's just a little piece of driftwood. It could even be a really pretty piece of mulch okay. or a little branch that you find in your neighborhood. And you glue a little moss to anywhere on that piece of wood. And mm-hmm. you glue some succulent clippings to it, some feathers, some crystals or dried flowers or whatever, a shell if mm-hmm. you like, a piece of sea glass, whatever is inspiring to you. Mm-hmm. Glue it, add a little magnet to the back, stick so it on, your fridge. Or if you have a cubicle at work with a little like metal drawer like system, you could stick it right there, and it's just a really fun way to bring more greenery
yeah.
into all your spaces
in a vertical way, so you don't yeah. need like a table or something.
Exactly,
that's really exactly. awesome.
So that's one of my favorites as well.
And if you're interested in getting the book, the link will be in the show notes.
Yep.
Where can we find more information about Infinite Succulents? I know you have a lot of offerings on your website, but maybe people want to take classes in cities near them when you're around.
Yeah, thank you. So you can follow me at all the places, mainly Instagram and Facebook at Infinite Succulent. I have a website, www.infinitesucculent.com, and you can see what events I have coming up. I also blog, so okay. I have blog posts on there. I'm doing a whole series right now on kitchen gardens, cool. so doing raised beds in our backyard and talking about how to plan for it, prep for it, compost. I had a whole thing on composting mm-hmm. a few weeks ago.
And sustainability is a big mission of yours, yeah.
Sustainability is a huge mission for me, and I also, I call it plant wisdoms, but I also ruminate a lot on what the plants are teaching me on a personal level mm-hmm. when it comes to using creativity and using an active immersion in nature as a way to deal with kind of self-awareness
yeah.
as well as living a more joyful life.
Yeah, totally.
Coming to life from a place of joy and a place of abundance as opposed to scarcity and worry, which mm-hmm. tends to unfortunately be where my mind wants to go sometimes yeah. without me actively taking some mm-hmm. very decisive
yeah.
movements in the other direction. And I find that the plants really help me to be more present, mm-hmm. to be more mindful. And so I write a lot about the different lessons the plants are giving me when it comes to patience, when it comes to being a parent, mm-hmm. when it comes to being a human.
Yeah, totally.
And so I write a lot about that as well.
Cool. So yeah. everyone can go to infinitesucculents.com to check that out. And special thank you to Barrels and Branches for hosting us. This is the most magical nursery. If you are in the San Diego area, you must make a trip to come to Barrels and Branches. Their information will also be in the show notes. And very special thank you to listener and participant today, Liana from CNL Catering, who showed up and surprised us with the most yummy goodies. If you're in San Diego and need a caterer, you must look her up. Her info will be in the show notes as well. Raquel and I hope that this episode brings you guys joy, maybe brings you some inspiration to craft yourself. It's certainly been fun. Everybody in this room has the most amazing, I'm so blown away and so insecure at my crown versus everybody else's crowns. Oh my gosh, these crowns are unbelievable.
Gorgeous.
This could be such a fun craft for like a bachelorette party or your wedding or just like a fun day. And shout out, we have one botanical bro.
Woo,
who is here, who is also making a crown, and he said kings wear crowns too.
Yes,
so
they do.
Men can make them too. So until next time, plant friends, keep blooming and keep growing. Oh, plant friends, I hope you enjoyed that conversation. It was just such a fun morning activity. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be making succulent crowns for all my friends at all the bachelorette parties I ever go to ever again. Thank you, Rachel, for making my dream come true by helping me bring the succulent crown tutorial to life. If the idea of crafting with succulents excites you, I cannot say enough amazing things about Raquel's gorgeous book. Once again, it's called Infinite Succulent, Miniature Living Art to Keep or to Share. And the link to the book is in the show notes. It's also on the blog. It has tutorials for both of the crowns that we made today and so many other tutorials. It would make a great gift for any crafty person you might know or any plant person you might know, and would also be a really cute coffee table book because the photos are gorgeous and it's really cute and really small.
Because Raquel and I had such a beautiful conversation, which kind of ebbed and flowed in and out of the tutorial and just us getting to know each other in our conversation, I wanted to just give an overview of the steps that we went over in our conversation. So here we go. Start with several cuttings of succulents, cut right up to the bottom of the leaves, or what I call the booty of the succulent, and let the cut callus, which is dry out. The materials you need are 3 pieces of sturdy lace, some form of headband, whether it's an actual metal or plastic headband, or string for the tieback version that I did, reindeer moss, craft glue, or a hot glue gun. Hot glue guns are preferred, and any other articles you might want to fasten to the crown, like feathers or crystals or dried roses. Next, you're going to glue the 2 pieces of lace together. Then you're going to make that headband sandwich that I explained earlier, that you take the 2 pieces of sturdy lace glued together. Then you put the headband. Then you put the 3rd piece of lace. You glue all of that together. So you've got this nice sturdy piece of lace that becomes the groundwork for your workspace for the succulent cuttings. Then you're going to glue reindeer moss on top of that lace, and you're going to trim it very short. This will be what you fasten your succulents to. Then Raquel recommends that you, in your head, come up with a general design of the crown and then start gluing. Get after it with that hot glue gun. You're going to start with the largest succulent and then kind of design around it. And something that we all found looked really nice is if you did a larger succulent and then 2 smaller succulents right at its base, it kind of looks like, in nature, a succulent with a few pups. Just wanted to make sure we had a nice little succinct tutorial at the end after you enjoyed our conversation, just in case you need to listen back. Also, if you're interested in making your own crowns, there are a couple of resources for you. I have put all of the materials available in my Amazon storefront under DIY Succulent Crowns. For those of you who don't know, I have an Amazon storefront with recommendations for products that I like and use, and also inspiration from other episodes like the DIY moss tutorial. You can go onto my Amazon storefront and get everything you need for that. That's a separate episode. And Raquel also has crafting kits on her website with everything you need to make the crafts from the book on her website. So go check that out. Link in the show notes. Thank you so much to Mountain Crest Gardens for sponsoring this episode. If you are looking for high quality succulents shipped to your door, check out mountaincrestgardens.com/bloom to get your discount code for 15% off of your purchase. And Mountain Crest Gardens sells high quality succulent cuttings specifically for crafting on their site. So this would be a perfect fit when you go to mountaincrestgardens.com/bloom, get that 15% off discount code, then go to the more section and it'll say succulent cuttings and you'll see all of the options. So once again, that's mountaincrestgardens.com/bloom for 15% off. My dearest plant friends, I can't wait to meet more of you IRL. I can't wait to keep bringing you episodes in your earbuds if we don't meet IRL and you're one of my listeners all over the world. Until next week, keep blooming and keep growing. Plant friends, thank you so much for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, make sure you are subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. And while you're making sure you're subscribed, why don't you head on over to the review section of whatever podcast player you're tuning into and leave us a review. I would greatly appreciate it. If you want to join the Bloom and Grow Garden Club, head over to bloomandgrowradio.com/garden-club to join the planty fun. When you join, you get a free download of the Keep Blooming print that Molly Mansfield made exclusively for us, and you will also get an email with the password to the private Facebook group, which is what I like to call the plantiest corner of the internet. It is pretty amazing. For behind-the-scenes scoop, plant tips I learn along the way, and sneak peeks of future episodes, follow me on Instagram at @bloomandgrowradio. And plant friends, I'm here for you. So drop me a line if you have an idea for an episode, live event, or maybe if you're a planty business looking to sponsor the show. I am always here to help you keep blooming and keep growing. Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the Society yet, Plant Friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible, so I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.